Last week's message was about spiritual warfare. We as believers need to realize that we are all involved in a spiritual war. An invisible and spiritual war can sometimes be more real than physical wars around us. And today I want to talk about the unshakable foundation in our lives as believers, about the source of our strength. That foundation gives us stability. Gives us faith, hope, strength to continue our journey with the Lord. When we are going through a difficult time, a time of suffering, or a time of war, it is easy to see our own weaknesses or weaknesses of other people who are around us. And it is easy to judge ourselves or the people. It is very easy to judge. But I want to share the great news with you. News of freedom from condemnation and self-judgment. The simple truth and important truth that you are not alone in your life. If you have the Messiah, the Lord is with you everywhere. And your righteousness is not based on your own strong parts or your character or your own victories or your own holiness. Let us remember Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31. It is such an important place of scriptures. Proverbs 21, 31. A horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory comes from Adonai. We need to do our part. We need to prepare everything. We need to be ready for war. We need to be ready for battle, spiritual battle. We need to be ready to walk with the Lord. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to prepare our horse. But victory comes from the Lord. Let us remember, all victory belongs to the Lord. Today I want to talk about God's love and His covenant with us. This is our foundation. This is our foundation for everything in our lives. To understand how the Lord looks at us, I want to read from today's Haftarah portion. Let us open Isaiah chapter 54, verse 1. Isaiah 54. It is an important and very, very beautiful place of scripture. Really beautiful. Isaiah 54. Sing, barren one. Who has not given birth, burst into singing and shout. You who have not travailed, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married one, says Adonai. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out your tabernacle curtains. Do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right hand and to the left. Your offspring will possess the nations and will resettle the desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed, nor cringe, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and you will remember the reproach of your widowhood no more. For your maker is your husband. Adonai Tzevaot is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He will be called God of all the earth. For Adonai has called you back like a wife deserted and grieved in spirit, like a wife of one's youth that is rejected, says your God. For a brief moment I deserted you, but I will regain you with great compassion. In a surge of anger, I hid my face from you a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have compassion on you, says Adonai, your Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I swore that the waters of Noah should no more cover the earth, so I have sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor will I rebuke you. and verse 10. Please remember this verse. Though the mountains depart and the hills be shaken, my love will not depart from you, nor my covenant of peace be shaken, says Adonai, who has compassion on you. What a wonderful picture here. We can see in this place of the scripture that despite all their problems and rebel and unfaithfulness of the people of Israel, and we know that they were rebel, sinful, and had many problems in their midst, the Lord looks at them from the heart full of love and compassion and faith. Once again, verse 10, my love will not depart from you, nor will my covenant of peace be shaken, says Adonai, who has compassion on you. There is no judgment from the Lord, nor condemnation. In fact, sometimes it is difficult to understand why the Lord blesses Israel in spite of such disobedience, in spite of rebellion, in spite of imperfection of Israelites. It would seem that there is nothing to bless for. It is necessary to discipline, but the Lord, full of compassion. I want to show you the answer in the promise of God to Abraham. Let us open Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. And here's the Lord. He is the beautiful Father, loving Father. Verse 2. The Lord is telling to Abraham. He's giving these words, this promise to Abraham. And everything starts with verse 2. My heart's desire, it is Lord's heart's desire. It is his heart towards Abraham and towards us. So my heart's desire is to make you into a great nation, to bless you, to make your name great so that you may be a blessing. So the Lord wants to bless all the nations of the earth, on the earth, through Abraham. This is his desire. This is his heart's desire. My desire is to bless those who bless you, but whoever curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. This is the heart of our Lord. The reason why the Lord sees Israel beautiful and blessed is not because people have become perfect, or Abraham became perfect and without sin. Not because they completely changed and become worthy of blessing, but because the Lord made his covenant with Abraham and with all his descendants. It is his will. It is his heart's desire. It is his decision. And so when the Lord looks at Israel, he sees his covenant and his promise. How wonderful it is to realize that you are in the covenant with the Lord. In the covenant. And what is more, even more amazing, is how the covenant with Abraham was made. So let's remember how the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. And this will help us to realize the attitude of our Lord to us, to his people. So let us open Genesis chapter 15 and verses 9 through verse 12. Genesis 15, 9, 12. It is a great place of scripture. Then the Lord said to Abraham, bring me a 3-year-old young cow and 3-year-old goat, a 3-year-old ram, a dove, and a young bird. So he brought all these to him and cut them in half and put each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds. Then birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. So here's the part of Abraham. Abraham prepared everything for the Lord to come. And verse 12. When the sun was about to set and a deep sleep fell on Abram, Behold, terror of great darkness was falling upon him. So Abraham did his part, and then it is said here that verse 12, when the sun was about to set up, a deep sleep fell on Abraham. So he went to sleep. And then verse 17, when the sun set and it became dark, behold, there was a smoking over and fiery torch that passed between these pieces. And verse 18, the key verse here. On that day, Adonai cut a covenant with Abram, saying, I give you this land to your seed. This is the key verse here. Adonai cut a covenant with Abram. It is very interesting when we talk about the covenant of Abraham with God. In fact, it is the covenant of God with Abraham. This is the Lord who cuts this covenant with Abraham. When the Lord made the covenant, do you remember, Abraham slept. Therefore, it turns out that the Lord made his own covenant with himself and brought Abraham into his covenant, into the Lord's covenant. Why it is so important to understand? Because all of us, even Abraham, are sinful and therefore are not able to fulfill and preserve everything exactly. We are prone to mistakes and transgressions because we are human beings. And if Abraham had made the covenant and broke it, then the covenant would have lost its validity. Therefore, the sinless Lord himself, knowing the insecurity of Abraham and his descendants, he cut the covenant with himself and he invited Abraham into his own covenant. And remember, Abraham slept. Can you imagine what kind of freedom this is? What a blessing for us. Despite of all the imperfections of the Jewish people, the Lord looked at them with love through his perfect covenant. I have a small truth for us, small secret. You and I are imperfect and sinful, and therefore Yeshua cut with us the new covenant, promised through the prophet Jeremiah chapter 31. And let us read this promise, Jeremiah chapter 31. Let's start with verse 30. Jeremiah 31, let's start with verse 30. Behold, days are coming. It is a declaration of Adonai, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And again, can you see here? I will make. Verse 31. Not like the covenant, and it's about Moses' covenant. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. It is a declaration of Adonai. So that covenant was broken. But verse 32, it's an amazing promise for us. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. It is a declaration of Adonai. I will put my Torah within them. Yes, I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will each other teach his neighbor or each his brother, saying, Know Adonai, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. It is a declaration of Adonai, for I will forgive their iniquity, their sin I will remember no more. Verse 31, they broke my covenant. Yeah, people are sinful. They can't do everything perfect. But verse 32, the great promise, the Lord saying, I will cut with the house of Israel. I will put my Torah. I will forgive their iniquity. Their sin I will remember no more. When I read Jeremiah 31, I remember day of Pentecost, Shavuot, in Jerusalem, when the Holy Spirit descended on the first Messianic community and the living Torah, the Holy Spirit filled their hearts. The Lord is cutting his wonderful covenant with us. I want to read one very important place from the New Testament. This was the last moments when Yeshua was with his disciples on this earth. And let us read together Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. Matthew 26, 36 through 46. And let us pay attention. Let us be careful and read this place of scripture. So verse 36, chapter 26. Then Yeshua comes with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he tells the disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took along Peter and Zebedee's two sons. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he tells them, my soul is deeply grieved, even to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell face down and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. So this is the cup of the New Testament. This is the cup of the New Covenant. We all know this. So verse 40. Then he comes to the disciples and finds them sleeping. And he tells Peter, so couldn't you keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, for a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, let your will be done. So Yeshua, he realized that he came to accomplish, to fulfill all the truth. He came to cut a new covenant with us. So he knew about it. He knew about that. Verse 43. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them again and prayed a third time, saying the same words once more. Then he comes to the disciples and says to them, still sleeping, taking your rest. Look, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being delivered into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's go. Look, my betrayer is near. When I read this, how it reminds me of God's covenant with Abraham. Remember that Abraham was asleep. Why? Because the Lord did not want the participation of Abraham, the participation of a sinful person in the conclusion of the contract with the Lord. Likewise, during the conclusion of the New Testament, Yeshua prayed. He paid the price. He was in a strong internal struggle, and the disciples were asleep. Why? Because they could not take part in the covenant. No flesh can take part in this. This covenant was concluded by the Father with his Son Yeshua. His covenant, this covenant, new covenant, is without sin and therefore cannot be destroyed. Eternal, because the Lord is eternal. When Yeshua died at the cross, then Heavenly Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, accepted the sacrifice of his Son and introduced us into his new covenant. Remember Yeshua's last words on this earth. When Yeshua tasted the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So this word, it is finished. It is his last words before he died and was resurrected. This word finished means also completed, paid in full, accomplished. Completely, paid in full. The Lord cut his covenant with his own Son, and he invited us into his covenant. And now when we voluntarily accept the covenant with the Lord through Yeshua, the Lord sees us as a part of his new covenant. The Lord sees Yeshua who covered us, paid for our sins, took punishment and death in our place. And therefore the Lord is faithful to us when we are in his son Yeshua, when we follow him and trust our lives to him, when we enter the New Testament and remain faithful to him. And even if we stumble and sin, he sees us like parent, like loving and kind father who are going through rough time with a difficult child, but he loves his child, works with him and believe in his bright future because he is our father. So we believe in the Lord. We trust in him. And you know what? He trusts us. He loves us and thinks the best about us. So if you are battling with sin and some problems in your life, if you are making mistakes and afraid what that the Lord has torn from you, please remember this prophecy from Isaiah 54, verse 10. Though the mountains depart and the hills be shaken, and it will happen for sure, we are coming to the time that mountains will depart. But the promise of the Lord, my love will not depart from you, nor my covenant of peace be shaken, says Adonai, who has compassion on you, his heart full of compassion. You are beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. You are so special and so loved by him. Please allow this truth fill your heart with love, and you will experience new freedom and new strength in God. I would like to read in the end 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through verse 10. This is a great commandment and recommendation to all of us about our life with the Lord. 1 John 1, 7 through 10. It says here, but if we walk in the light as he himself in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son Yeshua purifies us from all sin. It is promised from him. And I would like to say here, purifies us from all sin. All. Everything includes here. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us say together, from all unrighteousness. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. He is almighty. He cut his covenant with his son and he includes us as part of his covenant. So we can be forgiven. And he purifies us from all unrighteousness, from all the spots, every part of us. He covered us by his mercy, his love, by his covenant. Verse 10, here's even more. If we say we have not sinned, so it's about people who like to judge themselves or others. If we say we have not sinned, everyone is sinned, for sure. We make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Which means we are all sinners, but his covenant is enough for us, in Yeshua, through Yeshua. Please do not leave the new covenant. Do not leave Yeshua. Follow him. And if something goes wrong in your life, please don't be quick to condemn yourself. Do not judge yourself. Do not overjudge yourself. Please remember 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. This is about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Ruach Adonai is, there is freedom. The freedom in the Holy Spirit, the freedom of forgiveness, the mercy of the Lord. Thank you so much for your attention. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing, as we normally do at Beth Israel, and we will return to Brian and Deanne's home for a final song. So let us pray. Yevrechecha Adonai v'ishmerecha, Yair Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha.